So what do you guys imagine today is going to be like? We'll get to all the football stuff in a second, and I probably need to tell you on the front end, I probably need to mention this as much as I can today. Mike Ryan, if you get us on the ESPN app, if you're listening to this on the ESPN app, and we are disappearing from all things ESPN at like 4 o'clock today, all things ESPN will erase us.
4 o'clock?
There's a time. There's a time where we just get expunged from their entire history.
I'm thinking that's noon Eastern.
No, I mean, it's not noon really? Eastern. We will exist as a podcast for a few hours after there, like a lingering bed smell in a bathroom.
They're allowing us some internet access to get our affairs in order.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know. I mean.
So what do you imagine? Before we get to the Dolphins,
getting into the studio today was an absolute adventure for me. Locks are already starting to change. I had to find like some sort of attic crawl space to get in here.
Mike is sending me directions at 6:30 in the morning as to how to get into the garage because our key doesn't work anymore.
I went up two floors to come down two floors. It's a whole deal. I have some of the keys, but not all the keys.
Yes, it's a bit of a labyrinth here. There are many things for us to figure out, and we believe, we think, we hope, this is getting more pessimistic as the sentence goes on, that we will be here for you tomorrow doing a show digitally. There are a lot of complications here in the infrastructure and the engineering that might make that difficult, but our effort and what we are trying to do is be on digitally tomorrow. We are trying to get you a podcast used to the way that you're used to hearing us. But if you get us on the ESPN app, Mike, can you make this simple for people? I keep telling them Levitard and Friends, just make sure to download on whatever your devices are. Yeah. But there are many people who are not podcast savvy. Like, I can say whatever your devices are to some people and they're like, cool, got it, no problem.
Yeah.
But people who have been listening to us only on the radio and don't do podcasts, if they want to get us after today, the ESPN app is not going to help you. We are going to be replaced very quickly by Bart Scott.
There's no one listening on the radio. It's why they're firing us.
Yeah, I mean, the ESPN app, I think a decent sized percentage of people, because we were so heavy.
The Stugats think we were fired.
We weren't.
I mean, I think this is a mutually agreeable situation for
the Stugats think nobody listens to us on the radio. Like,
so wait a second. Do you think you were not?
I was absolutely not fired. I can assure you, I was not fired.
I was.
Yeah, you were. Right, you were.
Yeah. So we're obviously not going to be on the ESPN app anymore after today. And Dan has been messaging Levitard and Friends. We do have that network feed. That'll still be there, and you're still going to get Supodity, Mystery Crate, and South Beach Sessions, which are under that Levitard and Friends umbrella, especially that network feed that cracked the top 10. But make sure you are subscribed to the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. These are separate feeds, and the messaging has been a little confusing. Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, some of the great large platforms out there. We're on all of them. And while we're doing a transition from one day to the next, and there might be a little bit of a latency period there, or aim is to make sure that we deliver on a podcast to you the way that you're used to hearing it digitally tomorrow.
That is what we are efforting to do. We do not know if we will be the Dolphins. I don't know, Chris, if your inner child
was... We
don't
have to do this. We don't need to talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah, we do.
Was your inner child damaged by the Dolphins? I think the last time something felt like that, like the Dolphins were run over by the Bills for a while. Tom Olivadotti literally on a sideline was run over defensive coordinator while standing on a sideline. The Buffalo Bills used to trample the Dolphins en route to four straight Super Bowls. But I don't remember a day in Dolphin history feeling like yesterday did. Since, do you remember, Stugatz, when the Ricky Williams Dolphins went up to the Patriots and all they needed to do was win a game, and the Patriots were not good that season, or not their standard of good that season. All they needed to do was win a game that people thought they were going to win. And they lost. Yesterday was crushing, and not only was it crushing, because the season was a success, period. The Dolphins keeping you in the game until the end of the season is a success. But now what you've got, Chris, now what you've got, Billy, is Michael David Smith is saying the Dolphins need to consider in the first round the drafting of a quarterback. A lot of people are saying that about Tua and the idea that he doesn't look special. It doesn't seem fair to me. It seems too fast to make the evaluation, especially, Stugatz, with how limited the entire huddle around him
sure
is. But that's where we are now. That's how people are doing it. They see Herbert looking like that, that young, that fast. They see Burrow looking like he belongs that fast. And they see Tua throwing a lot of intermediate stuff. And they don't care that he doesn't have Keenan Allen or Mike Williams or A.J. Green.
I think the thing that is difficult, the Dolphins had a good season. And you could see it headed in the right direction. The one question you wanted answered was whether or not you have a quarterback, and you still have no idea if you have that quarterback. I don't know if it's unfair. It's just the way the NFL has evolved, where you have to do it in like 8 to 10 games, or people start to question whether you can do it at all. Quarterbacks, Peyton Manning got an entire season starting as a rookie, and no one really asked any questions about Peyton Manning at the time. And so
he looked
see.
A lot better than this, though. He looked, he turned the ball over more than he usually does, but he looked a lot better than this from the very start.
Here's the thing that's alarming about Tua. It appears his own head coach does not trust him to throw the ball down the field, and he sees him every single day in practice.
Well, and his own, his own head coach has benched him twice.
Yes.
Yeah, Tua's bad. Tua's bad. I think it's time we give up on Tua. And not just that, but this is probably the most important Dolphins draft in how long, because they're there. They have the picks. This is the time where you can kind of turn around the franchise. And they took Tua last year, so you have to start questioning, do we have the right decision makers in place? It may be time to clean house before the draft.
I mean, last year's draft was pretty important when we took Tua.
And look what happened. Look what happened. Yeah. Wasted pick. Wasted number 5 pick. Now they're going to have the number 3 pick, I believe. Can you afford to have the same people making the decisions that made the decisions last year? I don't know. It's not for me to say.
It's just so frustrating because, like, you have the argument over here of he didn't have any help. The offensive line was bad. No skill guys. And then you have over here that at the end, like, regardless of that, I was rooting for Ryan Fitzpatrick to come into the game yesterday. And that is something that I needed to not be rooting for at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
if
you
had said to me the final game of the season with the season on the line, you are going to be longing for Ryan Fitzpatrick to come in like
with COVID,
with like Mariano Rivera. That's what I'm longing for. And I don't care what he looked like at times. I don't care what Brian Baldinger shows me on a video clip. I need to not be longing for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the second half of the game with our season on the line. That's what I know.
I know that Tua doesn't have great weapons on the outside, and Devontae Parker sort of been in and out of the lineup, but I don't have an answer for why the weapons look a lot better when Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there. And Dan mentioned that the head coach and the offensive coordinator, because I know Chan Gailey's getting torched on Twitter, don't trust Tua to throw the ball downfield. I see players running deep. I see Tua not throwing downfield, which is a shame because I think Tua throws that back shoulder sideline fade really well. I'd like to see that more. It's a great throw that he makes, but he doesn't really stretch the field all that often.
That's the problem. It seems the worst weapons he has is attached to his shoulders.
So this is where we are, though, Stugatz. This is exactly how it goes. Your whole season is an overachieving season. And every turn, you are happy with what the Dolphins give you, but now you head into the offseason with the kind of questions you never want around your team and your quarterback because of the way you lost in a game that mattered to only you. I didn't understand why the Dolphins were favored by 3 points in that game. Yep. I assumed it's just because they needed the game and the Bills didn't. The Bills started Josh Allen at wide receiver because they didn't want the loss to count against his quarterbacking record. I've never even seen that before.
Can anyone? But here's the thing. The first thing I noticed about Tua, we all noticed about Tua, was it against Clemson, second half, Mike, national championship game?
Georgia.
Was the arm strength. And the fact that they don't want him throwing the ball downfield, or he doesn't want to throw the ball downfield, is somewhat alarming.
But where you guys been on this, though? Because I've been asking this for, and every time they win, you shout me down. Like, I've been asking about the idea that he's doing intermediate stuff, and now because they took that loss.
Well, they were in the playoffs. I mean, they were in the graphic.
But wins are not a quarterback stat. They were in the graphic.
Look, two more games happened, and that's important. You made this move early on so you could figure this out, right? You knew when they benched Ryan Fitzpatrick in favor of Tua, they had an eye on what the Texans were doing because it seemed as though they were going to have a high pick. So they needed to rush an evaluation on the quarterback. And if we're just judging off of that, Have you seen Tua be special enough for you to not take a quarterback? And I think there's preconceived notions that you don't do this because you took a quarterback last year. No, the NFL and their new salary cap structure with the rookie wage scale, the Eagles paid Carson Wentz the highest quarterback contract ever, and then they took Jalen Hurts. It's sort of incentivized now to just keep taking hacks with quarterbacks. You can Whedon, Manziel, you can just keep discarding these quarterbacks and keep trying a new young one.
Who are the three? Who are the guys? Is it just in the top 15? I shouldn't have said just in the top 15. Fields, God, Justin Fields. You got Lawrence, and you got Trask is top 15?
I don't think Trask is top 15. I think Mel has him as his fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
Zach Wilson
is the third. Well, they're saying Zach Wilson could go ahead of Justin Fields. Yeah. Some people like Wilson more than
Although
Fields.
Although Urban Meyer does take that job, and I don't know if he will or not, but Colin Cowherd seems to think there's a lot to it, and Urban Meyer pushes for personnel power. The top of the draft gets a little interesting with the whole Justin Fields thing. I don't know. Justin Fields looked really good.
If he takes the Jags job, you're saying?
Yeah, it could be. You might have a little mystery, but I think Trevor Lawrence is still slammed.
Take the Jets job.
If you're a Dolphins fan, you're hoping that Tua is not throwing it deep because the offensive line is bad and he doesn't have the time to do it. Like, that's what you're hoping. I don't know. I can't break down the offensive line play to know, but that's what you're hoping for.
So here's where we are with our football teams, because we've only got one person who's happy today. That is Mike Ryan. His Cleveland Browns make the playoffs for the first time in damn near two decades. Stu Gotts, and this is a heartbreaker for a number of different reasons.
Used to him.
Stu Gotts had finally a coach of the Jets who was his friend.
Yeah.
That lasted all of two seasons that were filled with mocking. Stu Gotts thought he had inside information on Adam Gase getting to retain that job beyond now, that the general manager wouldn't fire him because the general manager was brought in by Gase.
Yeah, backstabber. I mean, seriously, Gase hired him, and then he goes ahead and fires Gase? Jeez. I mean, seriously. I'm telling everyone in the Jets organization, man, keep your eyes open when you're walking around Joe Douglas, okay? I mean, seriously.
Because he's a backstabber.
Yep.
Because
eyes open, everyone. All right. Okay?
So... that is interesting. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Le Batard Show. Is Stu Gotts allowed to call anyone else a backstabber, just given his resume?
Now, Joe, let's go. Let's hire the right head coach here. Let's get a quarterback. Let's get some players that's around that quarterback. Let's go win a Super Bowl.
Oh, Stu Gotts. Have you not seen the hot name that's put himself out there year in and year out? Dan Mullen wants to coach your football team. Geez. This Dan Mullen, if I'm ever a kid that plays for Dan Mullen, Dan Mullen forces his name into every coaching rumor. The guy just hates recruiting. Hates recruiting. They broke all sorts of rules over there. Who the hell wants Dan Mullen to coach their pro football team? No one. No one asked you, Dan Mullen.
Gators was his dream job.
No one asked you. No one considered you. Get out of here.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, in quote marks. This Dan Mullen, yes or no? This, because I'm with Mike on this. It's exactly what his first name should be this, and his middle name should be Dan.
I love those reports. Dan Mullen would consider head coaching job in NFL if offered. What is that? That's an agent just reaching out to NFL insiders. Put this out there, please, because I can maybe get, at the very least, a contract extension. And I'm on to you, Pat Fitzgerald.
So how happy were you, Mike, that the Cleveland Browns haven't made you feel good since when?
Oh, you think I feel good? Because I still have residual effects from, like, that tense moment where we just eked a two-point victory out against a 300-yard passing Mason Rudolph.
I was rooting for Mason Rudolph to stick it to you. I gotta be honest.
I am.
What happened? Where'd that come from? He was awful. I watched the first quarter of that game, and I'm like, he's Mason Rudolph. This is nothing. The Browns are a 10-point favorite. Nothing's gonna happen here.
I understand. It's edging out the Steelers' backups, and it's a little embarrassing. Mason Rudolph was picking apart special teamers having to start at cornerback because everyone on the Browns has COVID, and we've had one practice and it was in a hotel parking garage over the last 3 weeks. So we're not great on that side of the ball right now.
You got the Sunday night position, though.
Thank God.
How about that?
The NFL helped us out, too, because there's a chance Denzel Ward will come back. Well, whether or not he'll actually be himself, it remains to be seen, because Myles Garrett is not the same player. post COVID.
Do you love the super wild card weekend? That's what the NFL is calling it.
Yeah. But to answer your question,
one of the games is on Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah. Like I don't care where. I don't know.
But no, but I don't care where. No.
Playoffs. I mean,
all these games.
What kind of answer is that?
That's my analysis.
When I say to you, one of those games is on Nickelodeon, and you're like, I don't care. Like, what is that? What is
terrible analysis.
I think we can all rally behind that, too. You spoke for me there.
It sort of feels like sort of racist against Mexicans a little bit.
No, don't do that.
I don't think he intended it. Like, that's not, I don't think he.
You don't think I intended it?
It was an unintentional tribal yell, but.
There's still a little sliver of doubt.
Yeah. I mean. To answer your question, Dan, I'm so happy. That was honestly, that's a destination for me. Who knows? We may get smashed next week, and I'll be like, why did I do this to myself? But to have an extra week of football, to not be a joke, to not be embarrassed again by my football team, to be in the playoffs, to have this feeling as an adult, I'm just like on cloud nine, honestly.
Can I just a quick aside here, and I can't believe I'm going here. Myles Garrett chased down Mason Rudolph after the game yesterday, like went out, like sought Mason Rudolph to have a couple of words with him, but more importantly, shake his hand. That seemed weird to me. It seemed odd to me that if Mason Rudolph did the things that Myles Garrett accuses him of doing, I don't think that's a guy you seek out after the game to shake his hand. It was odd to me.
I can believe, and I don't know what happened there. And Mike, if you do me the favor, I don't know the expression cloud nine. Like, I know what it means, but I don't know where it comes from and why it's not cloud eight or cloud 10. But I think it seems clear in retrospect that Myles Garrett absolutely believes that he heard what he did, and Mason Rudolph absolutely believes that he did not say that. And so where are you after that? Like, I suppose time can go by if...
Classic he said, he said, right. So you just shake hands after the game and let bygones be bygones?
I mean, I think you buy yourself something if you're Myles Garrett and you run across the field and you do that. People will notice it and talk about it the next day. And not everybody will say it's weird. Some people will say, well, good that they have some healing after one of those incidents that involves swinging a helmet at the bare head of Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, it's one of the ugliest things we've ever seen. And Mason Rudolph...
on a football field.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph did tweet out on Twitter and put on Instagram, onward and upward, with a still of Myles Garrett approaching him at the end of the game. So it seems as though that ugly chapter is closed, but they play again next week.
We should call the Nickelodeon game, because I was thinking it should be Mark Summers and Summer Sanders, and I know that's my good friend Ian Eagle's son that's doing it, but Chris says Keenan and Kel, and I feel like Keenan and Kel would be a good call for that game, right? Or Stick Stickley maybe on the sidelines doing some sideline reporting. Who would you have, Dan, being the Nick reporters?
Well, I want to hear some more about what Nickelodeon is doing in order to entice the kids.
Oh, they're sliming players.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of like computer generated graphics to make it seem super fun. I'm actually super into this. I watched a documentary on the early years of Nickelodeon to sort of get myself ready for this massive playoff game, because I want to get all the sight gags.
Forgive me, Billy, in not answering your question. The reason I can't answer your question is because I'm a little bit out of that demo. All I remember about Nickelodeon was it You Can't Do This on Television?
Yeah.
Was one of the monumental
shows out of Canada with Alanis Morissette in it.
Yes, well, that's what I remember. I remember Alanis Morissette, and that's where the sliming started, correct?
That is where it originated, and it sort of established an aesthetic for them going forward.
What is the name of the guy that we were going to do obstacle courses with?
Mark Summers.
Okay, yeah, you just said that. So Mark Summers, what happened to us doing that with him? What happened?
The pandemic.
Yeah.
They were supposed
COVID-19.
Tour. I don't know if you've seen this thing. It originated in Wuhan.
COVID. What? Tell me more. Please explain it to me.
Well, life came to like a sort of screeching halt afterwards. And now you actually, I don't know if you notice this, it's hard to pick it up on television, but like no one's in these stadiums outside of like Texas A&M, oddly enough.
Life did come to a screeching halt, but somehow St. John's DePaul got a half of a basketball game in quarterfinals Big East tournaments.
You mentioned attendance. Do you realize that the Dallas Cowboys, as of recently, they represented 20% of the NFL attendance this year, because Jerry Jones is like, I'm the most powerful owner in sports, and I don't care what any of you say about anything. I'm going to grab my dollars here from my customers in Texas, because we do it bigger and dumber in Texas.
30% capacity for them is obviously a lot larger, because close to 100,000 people can fit in that stadium, I think. So yeah, they're 30,000 people and make a lot of noise. It's interesting that Cuomo actually caved and the Bills are going to have some fans at their stadium, but you have to test negative beforehand, and there's contact tracing that is done immediately following.
It's like 6,000 fans.
6,000 fans, yeah. And they're asking Bills fans to be responsible.
Josh Allen's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he looked pretty good yesterday. The no-look throw.
What happened to that Dolphins defense yesterday? Like, everyone's talking about Tua. That was an awful defensive performance by the Dolphins.
Yeah. He's a difficult quarterback to contain. Like, there's no disputing that he's a talented kid who has made a giant leap in a way that would, if you want to be positive about the Dolphins, would indicate, hey, you've got to give these people some time to grow into the position, because it was standing on the opposite sideline yesterday. That was an inaccurate quarterback. I don't know how that guy was coached. Where'd he go? Wyoming?
He went to Wyoming, and I'm glad you mentioned the coaching, because I want to be Kane's homer guy for a second. Brian Daboll's going to get a head coaching job out of what he's done with Josh Allen.
Maybe the Jets.
But if you look at what Ken Dorsey has done with these athletic, kind of inaccurate quarterbacks, with Cam Newton, and he made Mike Shula look like a genius. I think Ken Dorsey is a very good quarterback coach, because Brian Daboll, I know he's been in the league for like 20 years, but he's had some pretty disastrous stops along the way. He's grown and learned from his mistakes, but Ken Dorsey's pretty good.
I would like to remind you guys how the last season ended for the Buffalo Bills. They were up 16-0 in the playoffs, and he was throwing across his body into double coverage to a fullback, and he was running backwards toward the wrong end zone at the most critical time, and he looked like a human being who didn't know what he was doing out there. And on top of that, he was inaccurate. There was nobody who could have predicted what this has become. You could have said he's talented. You could have said that he would be somebody that you believe that if he game manages, maybe they could coach some of the reckless out of him. But the thing, he made a throw in the last game to Stephon Diggs that ended up in a touchdown. The arm strength on that dude is indisputable. Like, it's the strongest arm you've ever seen type of stuff. It's in the Elway category. Mahomes, it's Michael Vick, and the idea that he can be accurate now, I just did not know that that was something that could be taught, Stugatz. I thought that if you were inaccurate in college, they couldn't scrub away the inaccurate, and if you're reckless, you could scrub away some of the reckless,
sure.
But if you're inaccurate with reckless, bad things are going to happen. And so, yeah, I got it wrong on Josh Allen. There's no disputing that. But who had it right? I ask you that question seriously. Who had him being this? Did the Bills have him being this?
Just the Buffalo Bills.
Well,
who would have
been? Yeah, but this is 45 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. I mean, he threw for 37. He ran for 80. He had 10 interceptions. And the completion percentage went up 11%. To Mike's point, Brian Daboll deserves a good deal of credit here. So does Josh Allen, though.
He's going to get a lot of it. Yeah, the players do. It's not sexy saying quarterback coach, but Josh Allen wasn't even good in college.
I know.
He was an honorable mention in the Mountain West.
Like, crazy.
I would watch Josh Allen and hear about this guy who has this tremendous arm. Number one, I didn't see the kind of athlete that he ended up being in the NFL. I think that one, no one was talking about that. We have like a million draft experts, and not a single one told me that this guy could be the dual threat that he ended up being. But he was great, and he's actually a case study that if you're a Miami Dolphin fan, hey, look, they got him weapons. He got better. They got him a precise route runner in Stephon Diggs, and then all of a sudden, Brown is not dependent on in the same way. Cole Beasley becomes a nice little piece as the third option in that receiving core, and it makes everybody better.
Diggs, I don't know what happened with him specifically in Minnesota. I don't understand it, but you can see where and how they miss him in Minnesota.
I got Jefferson, who broke Randy Moss's record. That's a greatest replacement.
It's a pretty good replacement, but you've seen what's happened to that team in general, like, and that quarterback, right? Like, for as good as Jefferson has been, he is still a young... Jefferson reminds me of some of the things that Randy Moss did, where he feels like it's just this raw athleticism and he's got a lot of learning to do, and he's still dominant while needing to do some learning. But you guys are right that they don't miss him that much if that's the replacement. I still am marveling, though, at how good Diggs has been in Buffalo.
Yeah, they miss Stefanski more than they miss Diggs, actually, and Diggs has been incredible. I thought Diggs was like, man, you try to force your way out of Minnesota and you played yourself. Now you're with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and man, another place I was wrong in regards to the Bills.
I am wondering how big of a Mike Glennon fan Chris Cody became late yesterday afternoon as the Jaguars got into 20-4.
My God, I was watching that Jags game, and of course they had to make it close in that second half. God, that was frustrating. That is the worst feeling in the world. First, it's needing the Dolphins. That's just a bad feeling. And then when they lose, you need the Jags. It's like, come on, man.
The worst feeling in the world. Is there a worse feeling in the world than needing the Jags? I mean,
put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
Trey Wingo is mocking me on Twitter.
Is there a worse feeling in the world than needing the Jags? I think it's obviously very easy to say today, gas baggy retrospect playing the result. But I do believe that it's probably fair, Chris, no matter how hopeful you were yesterday, no matter how optimistic you were, I think when you look at Indianapolis and Cleveland, you see better football teams. Maybe it's not much better, but you see players and you see skill guys. You see players and all over the field on Indianapolis has got on defense. They've got a good defense that doesn't have happened to it what just happened to the Dolphins in this last game. I feel like we can say that the bottom half of the AFC, that a lot of the teams are close, but on merit, the Dolphins probably don't deserve to be in the same space that Cleveland and Indianapolis do they?
Super unlucky. 10 wins in an expanded playoff field. They're on the outside looking in as a 10-win team. It stinks, especially when you look at the NFC and there's an 8-win team there.
But do you think they're as good? Chris, tell me.
The Colts, when you were saying it, I was like, I'm not some savant, but I don't think of the Colts as this crazy, more talented team than the Dolphins. The Browns, I think, are more talented. But, I mean, I know the Colts' defense is good. The Dolphins' defense has been good all year, though. So it's... like those were, I thought, were a wash, but I mean, I don't know. It's tough.
I think the hope should be that they did that in what should have been a rebuild year, right? Where the other teams are well into their rebuild and the Dolphins got one win less than half of them and you didn't expect them to be there. Now you're missing a ton of pieces. So it should be hope, I guess, for the future. If you get the right pieces, what could this team be? But at the same time, there's all the questions about Tua and what is Tua.
Actually, I'm looking at point differential here, and the Dolphins aren't as good as the Colts, but they're a good deal better than the Browns. The Browns are minus 11 this season. They've been outscored this season, and I know that this is not a perfect statistic, and I also know that the Dolphins got clubbed yesterday and are still plus 66 on the season. So I'm not sure it's fair to say what I said, that Cleveland is necessarily better than the Dolphins.
The Browns had two games. I don't know what happened there, but they had two games in which they lost by 30-plus points to the Ravens and Steelers. So, I mean, that accounts for a lot of it.
Yeah, there's so many mitigating factors. But, yeah, thank God they don't do this by point differential. Otherwise, the Browns would have the picks that the Dolphins have.
But just so you understand, the Dolphins have a better point differential than the Titans. I don't believe a lot of people would have thought something like that. I don't think a lot of people, if we'd asked them, even if the Dolphins had won yesterday, who's better, the Titans or the Dolphins? I don't think a lot of people would be saying the Dolphins.
How does a 2,000-yard rusher sneak up on you?
That also, by the way, is credit to their defense, because their offense couldn't score points. They did not have a good offense. So that just tells you how good the defense is, that they still had that point differential with the offense that they had.
When you have an entire season and you have the altitude on it, because everyone kept holding up that Cardinals performance as, look, that's a silver lining. That's what you saw to get excited about Tua. And then you realize, well, the Cardinals aren't very good. The Cardinals I mean, every time Cliff Kingsbury's a favorite at home, they lose. He's like 1-6 all time as a home favorite. It's not really that impressive what he's done. You can start nitpicking some of these victories, like, oh, the Rams, I guess that was impressive at home. But, you know, as the season progresses, you kind of can poke holes in how impressed you were at times with the Dolphins.
That was what Bill Parcells was saying when he just dismissed all of that and said, you are what your record says you are. Bill Parcells would be terrible at therapy. Like, he wouldn't want to discuss
it. Is what it is.
And, I mean, it is, but you also can't argue with it. Like, he's like, you can make all the excuses you want, but don't tell me how hard it was. Just show me. Don't tell me how hard the labor was, is what he used to say. Just show me the baby. And he did not care all of the reasons that you could say that your team lost the game. Did you win or did you lose? That's it. That was the math he was doing. It's a very quick therapy session. I think we could do a pretty funny bit of Bill Parcells doing therapy, like just being asked questions about his childhood and saying, look, I had a mom and a dad and I came home and I went to sleep and they did what they did and I did what I did and then I became an adult.
It's a shame there wasn't any real drama attached to the Titans situation, because the Titans had the tiebreaker. They were getting in no matter what. It would have been really interesting to see Dolphins fans reacting emotionally to, wait, the Titans lose and we get in the playoffs, but we kind of want the Texans to lose too because we can get a top three draft pick. There would be competing situations going on there for Dolphin fans, but I think the playoffs would have been the overriding factor there for Chris.
Are we going to have the conversation about the whole Tannehill thing?
Why don't you?
Take the L on that?
Why? It has to drive you crazy, right? Like, that's my fear with Darnold, is he'll go be great somewhere else. That is my fear with him, so.
It is really annoying.
What, your kid?
That, and, yes. I'm sorry. I had to turn my mic off.
You'd rather have Tannehill right now than Tua?
I don't know. I think so, right?
Easily, I think. Easily.
Oh, I think everyone would take Tannehill over Tua.
Right now, easily, yeah.
But moving forward?
How old is Ryan Tannehill?
He's in his 30s.
Ryan Tannehill's...
I mean, he's been great.
But down here he really wasn't. Good. Do you think things would have drastically changed for him down here?
I mean, we were doing the same annoying Tua discussion that we were doing week after week. Where, man, I don't know. We were doing that with Tannehill for 7 years.
7 years. It was 7 damn years.
He would have been by 9 years now and wanting to do it.
We'd still be wondering. We'd still be wondering. He goes somewhere else and all of a sudden he's great. And you're like, wait a minute. I don't understand.
He'll be 33 before next season.
What?
Yeah, probably go Tua. But I don't know if I want Tua over who is available at the number 3 pick.
He has 55 touchdowns and 13 interceptions as a Titan.
Oh, my God. Those are honestly Hall of Fame numbers when I was growing up.
These graphics, don't even get me started on these playoff graphics that show me all the scenarios where the Dolphins can get in. All right? The Dolphins were an underdog, and all the teams they needed to win were big all the teams they needed to lose were big favorites. So, like, it was very likely they weren't going to get in, but yet all these graphics were telling me that I was definitely going to get in. Get out of here, graphics.
You'll always have that Raiders finish, which was infuriating watching as someone that needed the Dolphins to lose. That would have been a fun show to do. It's one of the great Dolphin memories. Didn't you change your avatar to that now meaningless past, Chris?
Yeah, that's a good picture. I'm going to leave that one for a while.
I love the idea. I love that we're sitting here talking about Tannehill this way after 9 years. What is funnier? What is funnier in Dolphin history? That Wes Welker had one touchdown catch as a Dolphin and then goes to the Patriots and every season it's 120 catches? Or Ryan Tannehill has 55 touchdowns and 13 interceptions?
Like, Hall of Fame numbers.
We spent 7 years talking about, is this guy any good?
And he was a half away from a Super Bowl last year.
Is this what today's show is going to be? We're going to talk football all show? That doesn't seem like it's emotional and nostalgic enough. We've got some stuff planned for you. We have some things that I'm not going to tell you about right now, but just a couple of things that we're going to unleash on you today that should be fun.
I left out the 11 rushing touchdowns for Tannehill, so it's 66 touchdowns and 13 interceptions.
No, we're not just going to talk. We're not just going to talk NFL football today. We can talk about the Cheez-It Bowl, Dan, if you'd like.
What happened in the Cheez-It Bowl other than losing to Oklahoma State? And
Nicosi
yes,
Perry looked good, though. Right?
Oh, stop.
He looked good.
I don't want to hear it.
He looked good.
No,
I mean, that was amazing. He was dropping dimes out there. He just couldn't catch any of them. Baker's still here?
King is supposed to be medicine has gotten very good. King's going to be ready for next season. King's coming back next season is supposed to be fine for next season, even though that's,
fall camp.
That used to be an injury, Stugatz, that you didn't cut. If that happened in the bowl game, you weren't going to be available as an athletic quarterback at the beginning of the next season.
Right. Now you're available. How about Justin Fields and that little injury, huh? Go into that red tent and boom.
Did you see his quotes from that? That was insane. He never got a diagnosis.
I know.
He went to the trainers and said, asked him what hurts. He's like, my entire right side.
Yep.
He's just like, half my body hurts. They never said, well, it could be this. They just gave him injections. Justin Fields admitted to this. And he went back out there. And now he's back in the conversation as the number 2 overall pick.
I was over at my parents' house when that game was going on. And I had it on. And my mom was watching. And she did this weird thing where she's like, he's not right. He's injured. He's very clearly injured. Something's wrong. He just threw a touchdown, but I'm telling you, he's injured. There's something going on. Look at him. Look at him limping. There he goes. He can come back, but I'm telling you, he must have a fractured rib. There's something going on with him. That's not right. What's going on right now is not right. There's something going on there. The first time I've ever seen Dr. Analyst Mom Gill telling me what was going on with the game, but she was very concerned about it.
I'd like to hear more from her as we move on. But Justin Fields' direct quote to Eric Smith, USA Today Sports, direct quote. I cannot believe, Dan, you're going to be mad. This is going to make you, angry.
I was mad watching it, Stugatz.
They didn't really tell me anything. I took a shot or two and just ran back out there. But it's pretty much my whole right side is sore. That's messed up. And a little in my hip. But they didn't really give me a diagnosis at all.
Billy, can we call your mother?
What?
Can we? No, I know. It's just, it might as well, the symbolism of this is simply, Stugatz, it is simply amazing. The idea that a quarterback in a season needs to keep moving toward the championship in such a way that he just goes to the sidelines, hey, my right side hurts. Here are a bunch of injections. Like, basically, just doctors on the sidelines throwing needles at him like ninja stars.
How about, can you play? Do you want to play? Do you want me to inject you with these needles? Your NFL career is coming up. Huh? And does any of that?
He should have just run out there with needles in him. Just on the right side of his body, just run out there and kept playing. Billy, you will not put your mother on the air with us?
It's very early, Dan. If you were a player, would you say no, by the way, if you were a football player and you're the quarterback and they're like, I can just inject this in you and you'll be good and you can play and you can have the game of your career and people will say, hey, you should be the number 2 picker. You're going to be like, oh, I need a proper diagnosis before I go out there, please.
You're asking a guy who got an epidural.
I'm more surprised that Justin Fields had that quote after than I am with him like totally being fine with the shot.
Right.
For him to be like, well, it's kind of messed up. No one even told me what was wrong.
You think he gets like a text from the team doctor like, bro, like, what are you doing?
Just a couple of injections. That's it. I don't even believe in the idea of Stugatz of having painkillers in amateurism. Like, if you're going to pay professional athletes to mask the body's screaming so that they can get out there, that doesn't seem terribly sane either, but at least I understand it if you're a professional. But the idea that the symbolism of these games being played during a pandemic, that team still playing basically only because we need them in these games to cash in. We need the Ohio State name. They haven't played enough games this season in order to be in those games, but they're sitting there and they changed the rules so that team could be there at the end. And then they're keeping that kid on there because he's the star and keeping him in the game because they need the victory. And they would have wheeled him out there in a wheelchair. They would have just kept moving it along if they had to amputate his limbs to get him out there because they don't have to deal with the consequences of, who cares if he has something that is wrong with him 6 months from now. We're just going to shoot his body up.
A nation united and overlooked, including Mom Gill. She overlooked what was going on with the right side of Justin Fields' body because we all could get behind Dabo getting it.
That's right. That is right. We were all, I feel like America was celebrating both of the losers losing in those games, because Notre Dame, in fact, I think there was more joy in watching Clemson and Notre Dame lose than there was in watching anyone beat them. That it was just like, you know how unlikable you have to be for people to be rooting for Nick Saban to just keep winning.
Yeah, and piling it on.
Brian Kelly, rare is the occasion that you see a team head into a football game just to cover. No effort at all to win. They just want to get the cover and leave. Run out this clock. Let us not be embarrassed to the point that they cover this enormous spread.
And they did cover it, and I had Alabama, and it annoyed the shit out of me.
Oh, God. Hurts.
Stupid. What was that touchdown? Like the last, 3 minutes of the game, I wasn't even watching. I'm like, I got this, and then all of a sudden they had 14 points.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Worst feeling, needing the Jags or getting...
Seriously, what am I doing?
Getting beat on the backdoor cover. What is the worst feeling? Needing the Jags to win, or just needing the Jags, period.
In general.
The betting in that sports, Stugatz. Here is a stat that I saw over the weekend, going into the weekend. The last 2 years, NFL over-unders. Are you ready for... there have been... Let's see here. 496 games in the last 2 years. And the record on over-unders is 245, 245, and 6. That is crazy. How is that possible?
It's a coin toss, Dan.
Thank you, Stugatz. I thought of you this weekend here when I saw that that Walmart, Walmart every year loses $3 billion just from people stealing from them. $3 billion worth. I thought of you.
The things that make you think of
yes,
me.
Yes, huh? Because you just stole money and just limping in with that joke that you telegraphed from 2009. And so it made me think of thieves, of people who steal things.
I'll be stealing tomorrow at Cameo. How about that?
Yes, tell us more. Tell us more, Stugatz. People are going to get, wait a minute, I saw Chris Cody and Greg Cody are on Cameo now.
Well, no, they're not. So Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe your account is active because we cannot be active until tomorrow. So,
correct.
Yeah. So I don't know what you saw there on the internet, Dan, but I never saw such a thing.
So I believe that I will be active tomorrow on Cameo. Chris Cody will be active tomorrow on Cameo, and the great Greg Cody will also be active on Cameo. I did my videos yesterday. They're uploading them today. I'm super excited.
I actually did have a very vivid dream that Greg Cody had a $34.99 price point, but I'm not exactly sure that was actually real.
So what was the price point in your dream for Chris Cody? $34.99 for Greg Cody sounds expensive. In your dreams, Chris, what is your price point here? Totally hypothetically.
Hypothetically, I think it's going to be $19.99.
I feel like in my dreams I saw $3.99. I thought I saw $3.99 somewhere. Did I get that wrong?
Hypothetically, they have this thing with you can do chats too. You can text. You can pay to text somebody apparently, and that's the thing you can put a price point at.
I'll do whatever the hell you want. Just send me the money.
You gotten a look yet? Have you gotten a look yet of what the backlog of requests is? Have they shown you yet how many people are lined up to get Stugatz on Cameo?
The guy said it's a lot. He also said it's a lot for Chris and it's a lot for Greg. Now Greg keeps asking me where I'm going to price mine at. I have not decided that yet. I keep telling him a dollar less than you're going to price yours at so I get more orders. Greg was not happy about that. So I have that going on with Greg, and Greg is desperately trying to get me on his podcast. I mean, he is relentless trying to get me on his podcast. I mean, Scoops is in rare form right now.
When are you going to come up with a price? Because it's tomorrow. You can't keep dragging this down the road. And also, and I could be wrong, but based on what a listener sent us, I think if you don't do it in the amount of time that you have to do it, it's free. So you need to do these.
I'm doing nothing for free. I can tell you that right now.
I think Cameo takes that L, though. I think you still get paid, and they take the L on that stuff if you don't do it in time. I think I could be wrong about that.
I'm doing this for free, Bill. This is all I got lined up.
This is it. This is the plan.
This is all we have lined up.